Morning. Welcome to our morning service. It's good to see so many people out. I know there's a few visitors with us as well, and it's really good to see you here. Bear with me. I think my announcements this morning are longer than the sermon, so I'll be away. And just, you can go to sleep in some of them, but some of them are really important. So you've got to keep tabs. Come back tonight. 5 o'clock is our prayer meeting in the prayer room. 6 o'clock is our evening service. And again, our pastor will be speaking at that. Now, this is the final day that our pastor will be with us. We will be saying farewell tonight and showing our appreciation to him and Esther at the end of the service. Now, whilst that is sad, it's also a time of celebration and thanksgiving for the 12 years that we've had with the pastor and Esther. And so we're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to praising the Lord for what he's done in this place. After the evening service and after that, there'll be tea in the hall. Just for the incoming week, Tuesday at 7:30 is our combined Bible study and prayer meeting, and this week that will be led by Andrew Cuthbert. Wednesday, as it's the first Wednesday in the month, our Ladies Fellowship will meet, and this month Avril Edgar, who is with Arab World Ministries, will be taking that meeting. So good meeting to be at for mission, so please put in your diary to come along to that. Next Sunday, the 5th of February, the 11 a.m. service will be taken by one of our number, which is David Ireland. So he'll be speaking in the morning, and at 6 p.m. Our service will be taken by Andrew Cuthbert, and after the evening service there will be communion. Next Sunday is also our 10th Sunday, our first 10th Sunday of the year, and so the collection that is taken up, tithes and offerings taken up from that week onwards, anything received will be for our own missionary family. Just, you maybe noticed on the board, but a notification for members. So we'll be having a special church business meeting on Thursday the 9th of February at 7:30 in the hall. The topic for this meeting will be the vacancy, so please, members, if you can come along to that. I was given the new copy of Word for Today is out, and so if you regularly take that, you can get one as you leave. That's that. And just finally, our thoughts and prayers are with Sam and May Robinson at this time on the death of May's sister Jean, who passed away peacefully on Wednesday. Please pray that God's peace and comfort will be felt with the family at this time. These are all the announcements, and are made God willing. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you in church this morning. Let's just open our service with a word of prayer before we sing praise. Father, we come to you this morning. We just ask that you will help us to focus our eyes and our hearts and our minds on you. We pray that you will come and meet each individual here this morning at the point of their need. We pray that your word will go forth in a way like that we have not heard before, and that message of the gospel will be as clear as a bell in this place this morning. We just ask for our pastor that you might minister to him and just bring him whatever he needs to be able to get through this service today. And as your people, we thank you that we are found in this place and we know that you are here with us. Please take this praise, accept it, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your ears this morning. For it's in your name we ask all these things. Amen. So it is lovely to have you this morning, and we are going to sing a song that is quite an oldie, and certainly you can't sing it sitting down. So if you would like to stand to your feet, we're going to sing, this happens to me all the time, "Oh, What a Wonderful, Wonderful Day, Day I Will Never Forget." cornerstone. And that last song told us that we have hope in Christ Jesus, not just here as we live on earth, but we have hope because we know that one day we will be with him in heaven. And that's all because Jesus is the cornerstone of our lives. And so we're going to sing My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
Thank you. So this is the part of the service where we get the real singers up. Okay, kids, you coming up to the front? Because I need all the help I can get. Good job. He's not saying this. Are you coming up, Benjamin? Do you know we have a lot of visitors today, and some of them don't know your name, so we'll tell them what your names are. We'll start over here. Do you want to tell them your name?
Harper. Ezra.
That's Ezra.
Caleb.
And that's Caleb.
Benjamin.
And that's Benjamin. So we are going to sing The Apple of God's Eye. Do you know that song?
Yeah.
Do you know it, Harper? Okay, you'll know when we'll start singing, okay? Their names.
What's your name?
Jackson.
Jackson.
What's your name?
Charlotte.
Huh? Think it's Charlotte?
Say Charlotte.
No. Okay. So there's a crashing table at the back for the young ones, and there's stepping stones across the hallway for the older ones. Bye. Okay, Jackson. Where you go? And the final song we're going to sing for this bit of the service is Be Still, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Many thanks to Jackie and to Sharon for leading us in prayer. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray as we come to this part in our service. We come to God's Word, and let's still our hearts and bow together in prayer. You did get the little bit of news this morning that Pat Logan is, her condition has deteriorated greatly this morning. And this is the second time I think the family have been called over the last number of months. And we just want to lift the family up before the Lord. So let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are able to bow together this morning in a place where prayer is wont to be made. And we thank you, Lord, that we have access right through to the throne room of heaven. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the listening ear of God. We rejoice, Lord, that your ear is ever open to our cry. And we thank you, Lord, that you all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we thank you, Lord, that God attends to the prayers of his people, whether they're weak and weary, whether they're sad and lonely, whether they're sick and sore, or whether they're rejoicing and glad. We thank you that God hears the prayers of his people. And oh God, as we come as your people this morning, we would pray very definitely for your touch upon us, your people, that we might indeed lift our hearts and voices in praise. And Lord, not only lift our voices, but we would also meditate and attend to your word, and what it is that the Lord would say to us here this morning. We pray, Father, that we may be very conscious of the Holy Spirit amongst us and upon us, quickening and strengthening the preacher and the listener alike. And we pray, dear God, that we may truly say that God has been with us this morning. We have already, Lord, mentioned the Logan family, and we think of Pat, and many people have many memories of Pat and Hugh Logan in this house. And Father, as she nears her home call, whether it's now or a week or a month later, we thank you, O God, that she's gone home to the nearer presence of the Lord. And we do pray that the family may know your peace and your comfort at this time, that you will draw alongside them each one, and Father, may they know your peace and your help, and that you would draw near to Pat, Lord, and as you have said, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We thank you, Lord, that you walk with us through the valley of the shadow. We thank you that you never leave your children alone. We thank you that, O God, you keep your promises to your people. And Father, we thank you that whether we're in the dimming light of our lives, or where we're in the spring and the full glow of life, we thank you that you said that you will be with us, you will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we pray for this house. We pray for all that consists and all that persists in it, we pray. Lord, that we may indeed truly know the Lord guiding us and guiding this house in the days that lie ahead. We ask for Albert Pollock, Father, we know that he's quite ill as well. And we ask for June and Charlie Cosgrove, we ask for Billy Weir. We pray for Sammy and May Robinson and the death of May's sister. And for all those, Father, who are experiencing difficult, dark days, Lord, whether sickness or mourning and sadness, we pray, Father, that you will draw graciously near to each one, and may they know your peace and your presence at this time. We do pray, Father, now as we turn to your word, grant us the help of the Holy Spirit, and grant that we may indeed rejoice in the Lord's word to our hearts this morning. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. If you've got a Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25, I've deliberately chose this passage because it includes a little text within it, which is the title of a message this morning, that he will wipe away all our tears. He will wipe away all our tears. Isaiah chapter 25, and we're going to read from verse 6 to the end, to the end of the chapter, I think. Yes, we read to the end of the chapter. Isaiah 25 and these chapters were about the millennial reign of Christ, and so there's great hope and comfort in them. Just as you're turning to the passage, I just have one other little announcement to make, and it's only by way of for your information. So it's for your information, and that is that my induction service in Cullibachy will be next Sunday morning at 11:30, but I'm not expecting you to come, but I'm only informing you so that you know exactly what's happening. And so that's next Sunday morning at 11:30. Do pray for us as we continue to remember you in prayer during the vacancy. Alright, let's read together from Isaiah chapter 25 and the verse 6. Isaiah chapter 25 and the verse 6. And it says that, "And in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy in this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For on this mountain the hand of the Lord will rest, and Moab shall be trampled down under him, as straw is trampled down for the refuse heap. And he will spread out his hands in their midst, and a swimmer reaches out to swim, and he will bring down their pride, together with the trickery of their hands. The fortress of the high fort of your walls, he will bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, down to the dust." Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. As I've already said, this prophecy is about the millennial reign of Christ, of a greater day and a better day that the Israel and the Jews were going to enjoy and experience. A day whenever the darkness will be turned to daylight, when sadness will be turned to joy, when bondage will be turned to liberty. A day whenever their hearts had been sealed and now they are rejoicing in the presence of the great Messiah that had been promised. But it also, this little passage reminds me of Revelation chapter 21 and the verse that's there, and it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And we may go through dark days and difficult days, we may go through sad days, but let me tell you, joy cometh in the morning. Our sadnesses and our tears will be wiped away, and joy comes in the morning. I like the thought of Jesus wiping away all my tears. And I like the thought of Jesus wiping away your tears as well. I want to look at this prophetic message and what it is saying and speak for a few moments on some tears that our Lord will wash away. Some tears that our Lord will wash away. There are many causes for our tears. I'm sure you'll agree with that. Our absent loved ones has been the cause of many tears. There have been many who have been bereaved in this fellowship of loved ones, and still you shed a silent, private tear for the loved one that has gone, that silent voice, that empty chair. And you still have those tears, maybe weeks and months and years. There may even be tears of your circumstances. You never planned the circumstances that you would be in. And somehow, some way, the circumstances of your life have changed, and what seemed to be joy and the great horizon that lay before you has suddenly been turned into darkness. There have been many who have shed a tear or two over the circumstances of life. Or our failures. Who of us hasn't failed? Who of us hasn't done things that we wish we had never done? Who of us haven't travelled a road that we wish we had never travelled? Who of us have never gone a way that we wish we had never gone? Who of us have not said things that we wish we had never said? And if we're genuinely converted to Christ, there will come those quiet, silent days when we're lying in our bed and we wish we had never said those things. And if we are truly humble of heart, we will drop tears of sadness and repentance. Not only will there be tears for our failures, Well, what about the tears over our future? I've got 5 grandchildren, and I don't like the world that they're growing up in. Do you? Do you? Do you like what they're going to face in school? Do you like what they're going to face in the workplace? Do you like what they have to face in their home, in their home environment? And oftentimes we drop tears as we seek the Lord on their behalf. It's a great joy to see the children coming forward and to see that innocence. But one day the world's going to rob them of their innocence. And unless we instill values and virtues and principles in their lives, then they're going to go the way of the world. Oh, folks, we need to drop tears regarding our children's future. What about our land? What about the way that our world is going? Surely if we're godly and God-fearing, we don't like all the various agendas that are against us, that seem to be pushed upon us just purely out of political convenience. The tears dropped over our church in these days. We've had a double blow. Tears. I met Liz Luke this morning around the back of the minister's room. She said, "Pastor, are you all right?" I couldn't answer her. Couldn't answer her. You know, there will be tears. Once there were tears of joy. We've got a new minister. Now he's not here. We weep over our church. We weep over not only a man, because it's not about a man. We weep about a spiritual direction. We weep about a spiritual vitality. We weep about a spiritual wealth. We weep about the things of God, because we want God in our church. We want God in our fellowship. We just don't want to be going through the traditions, but we want to know God, don't we? We weep over our hurts. And if we really want to go places with God, then we'll weep over our hunger for God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, there are many causes for our tears. Tears of desperation, destitution, degeneration. The darker the day, the more frequent our tears will flow. But folk, there is a better day coming. For his anger is but for a moment, says the psalmist in Psalm 30. His anger is but for a moment. His favour is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. One of these days, folks, all our trials, all our hardships, and all our anxiety and all our trouble and all our disappointments will be gone. We may ponder what has caused our tears. And if changing circumstances don't dry our tears, God will lift us out of these tears and the environment of tears. One day, whether Jesus comes or if God calls us home, when we arrive there, God will take a great handkerchief of his grace and wipe away our tears, whether it's when Jesus comes again, or whether we plant our feet on heaven's table land, and he'll come and he'll wipe away every tear. Every tear. I want to talk to you about a few tears that we can rejoice in today, whether we feel sad or lonely. Here's the first one, and you'll notice it in verse 8, and the first part of verse 8 in Isaiah chapter 25. He will swallow up death forever. You know, death has had a universal impact upon the world. The Jews, as to whom this passage is written, had walked through the valley, as the Logans are today, that walked through the valley of the shadow of death. The Philistines would have been glad to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. The Canaanites would have loved to prevent the Jews from populating Canaan land. Assyria and the Babylonians What about the Iranians and Iranians, and what about the Syrians today? Wouldn't they all love to just blow Israel off the very map? They have been walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Death had hit them, and death had hurt them, and death had threatened them on a constant basis. But you know, the greatest threat that we face today is death and dying without Christ. Dying in our sins and being lost for all eternity. But I have wonderful news for you, because He has conquered death. And He has overcome the grave. And He has signed and signaled the victory. Death has no more sting for the child of God. No more sting. It was at Jimmy Robinson's funeral on Monday week past that I read this passage, and as I was reading it, it meant something more significant to me than it had ever done before. And I'm going to read it to you just briefly, 1 Corinthians 15. Because oftentimes this is a very complicated and confusing passage. Because it's kind of like a tongue-twisting section of God's Word. But let me read it to you, and I'll try and explain it to you so that you may get the gist of what has been said. In verse 52 it says this in 1 Corinthians 15. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpets will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Do you know what that means? One day we are going to be raised without any sin in our bodies. Glory to God. One day we are going to have all the effects of sin removed. One day we're going to be raised and there'll be no more effect of the fall. There'll be no more ingrown toenails, no more wrinkles, no more overweight, no more underweight, no more anorexia, no more stress, no more sincerity, insecurities, no more uncertainty. That all things shall be made new. We will be raised incorruptible. In fact, we'll be given a body that will be able to inhabit eternity. Today we do not have a body that is able to dwell in the presence of God because it's full of sin. But one day, glorious day, wonderful day, and a hallelujah chorus, one day we will be in heaven without sin.
Hallelujah.
Without sin. Without all the things that have destroyed the very faculties and the very nature and the very character of man, who was made in the very image of God. But it will disappear. We will be raised incorruptible. Incorruptible. But there's a process. Notice very quickly as I read through this passage. It says at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. And then he goes on to say, for this corruptible. And as you look into the grave, you look at that person that's in the coffin, and they have died with corruption. They've died in their fallen bodies. But he says it must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so there's a great change that takes place. And any one of you that has buried a loved one, as you've lived with them and you've lingered with them and you've learned from them and you've listened to them, you have understood that they're not perfect. But as you put them into the grave, you've loved them, and you've loved them with an eternal love. And you'd long that they'd be back with you again. You'd long that they would rub shoulders with you again. You'd long that they would sit at the dinner table with you again. But one day, they will be raised incorruptible. There'll be no more of the blemishes and imperfections of their character or nature. How did that happen? Well, he goes on to tell us, doesn't he? He goes on to tell us, let me read these verses. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through whom? Jesus Christ. Boy, I would nearly break out into song. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He rose a victor over the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, what a saviour. I'm glad there's a wee bit of a hallelujah corner in this place. Thank you, Mark. You've been tremendously encouraging all the years down. I wish we had another wee hallelujah chorus over here. Raymond, you might have to take it up. Death is swallowed up in victory. Up from the grave he arose. Jesus conquered hell and death in his own body. And he is the first fruit from all who will rise again from the dead. He will wipe away every tear. Wipe away those tears. For every child of God has gone into the very presence of God. Paul said, I have a desire to depart. That word depart is an interesting word. It's to loose the moorings and head towards the destination. It is to unsaddle your horse so that it may have a rest. That word depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh folks, he will wipe away every tear. Do you like that thought? Here's the second thing. By the way, let me finish that wee point. Death has been abolished to where we are going. Well, I say that again. Death has been abolished to where your loved one has gone if they died in Christ. It has been abolished. Never again will you follow a loved one to the cemetery. Never again will you view loved ones in their coffin. Never again will you see them fading away in sickness and on to death. Never again will you sit at the bedside of a loved one and see them slip off into eternity. Because death is abolished in heaven. He'll wipe away all tears of death. I'm glad. I've got loved ones that have gone on before me. And because of the assurance of the gospel and because of the victory of Christ and because of his conquering death, I want to tell you, I fear no death. I fear the way I might die, but I'm not fearing death. I don't want to die in pain, do you? I want to just go out like a light. That's true. I just want to go out like a light. There's somebody who agrees with me. He wiped away all tears of death. Here's the second thing. The second part of verse 8, he'll wipe away all tears of despair. Look at what verse 8 and the second part of verse 8 in Isaiah 25 says. And the Lord will wipe away all tears from their faces and the rebuke of his people. This world is a land of weeping. Homes and hearts, families and lives. The individuals lay in shambles due to the touch of taint of sin. Children breaking the hearts of the parents. Man's inhumanity to man. Broken marriages, friendships, promises. Embattled and embittered countries and cities and citizens. The list goes on and on. We live in a bitter world. And not a bit of wonder there's so much despair. In the midst of the heartbreak, Jesus gives us the victory. I've already read you those little verses, but let me read you from 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 16, where it says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. We are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. The devil tries to squeeze us where he brings out bitterness out of our hearts, but I would prefer to follow Job. Whenever the devil tried to squeeze bitterness out of Job, what did he do? He worshipped the Lord. He worshipped the Lord. I wonder, have you been squeezed? And if you've been squeezed, has it been bitterness or has it been blessing? Has it been bitterness or has it been blessing? The psalmist has good advice for those passing through a difficult time. Listen to this verse and take note of it. It says in Psalm number 84 and verse 6 that as they go through the valley of Baca, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The word Baca means weeping. The psalmist tells those who are passing through the valley of Baca or weeping to make it a well. How do you make it a well? Well, having been born and brought up on a farm and knowing all things about farming, especially when it's wet and you're going through soft ground, when the tractor, the big heavy tractor, she makes tracks in the ground. And that's a little well. Many a time we saw these very deep, deep tracks made by this heavy machinery. And then when the rain comes, it fills these little tracks. The psalmist is encouraging us and he's advising us, when you go through the valley of weeping, he says, dig out some holes. Dig out some wells. Why? He says, for whenever the Lord comes and brings blessing, those who are passing after you will be able to drink water from the wells that you've made. What's really been said? What has been said that as you go through the suffering and sadness and the disappointments and the disillusionments of life, he said, make sure that you allow God to make you a well of blessing to others. And let me tell you how Paul, let me quote to you how Paul would refer to this. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, let me read them to you. He says this, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so what he's really saying, when you're going through the valley, when you're going through distress and despair, when you're going through sadness, look for God in your valley. Look for God in your sadness. See, can you find God to your heartache and heartbreak? And there, dig a huge well that he may fill you with blessings, so that when others that are near and dear to you are going through that same valley, you are able to come alongside and bless their lives with the experience that you have of God. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Every experience we go through in life, if we respond to it in the right way, God can make it a well of blessing to others as we pour out that blessing, as we seek to share with them the grace that God showed us. When God sends his rain of refreshing into your life, it will leave some valuable water behind for those pilgrims who enter the valley after you. God may use your valley experience to be a blessing to someone else. Here's what it says in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and the verse 1. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. A day will come when Jesus himself will wipe away your tears. And you may be able to draw alongside someone who perhaps doesn't know Christ, or someone who's following afar off, and you'll be able to say, let me tell you how God helped me. Let me tell you what God meant to me. Let me tell you that when I felt lonely and alone, when I felt singled out, let me tell you how God ministered to my heart. And God will minister to you this just the same way. He will dry up the tears of despair very quickly. I don't want to get myself a bad name for being a long preacher in Abbots. He will wipe away the tears of derision. Look at the third part of verse 8. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth. God speaks of the trials his people endure simply because they are his people. Is there any more despised people than the Jews? Eh? Is there? Why are there so many nations want to see them eradicated? Now why would we think that we, the people of God, who are the blood bought and blood washed, why would we think that our lives would be any easier? And I'm telling you, you can run with a hare and hunt with a hound, but those who stand against the flow and tide of sin and degradation, you'll soon be singled out. As soon as you nail your colours to the mast and say, I'm for Jesus, you'll soon find where your friends are. Right now, it's unpopular in our world for a person to declare their faith in Jesus Christ. It's not politically correct for us to say that Jesus is the only way of salvation. The world says that we're narrow-minded and too exclusive. They mock us for our faith, ridicule us for our stand on the Bible, laugh at us when we call us old-fashioned when we have morals and integrity and decency when it comes to sexual things. They don't mind us preaching this stuff in churches, but don't try to preach it in the open air. Here's what Timothy says in 2 Timothy 3 and 12. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Brothers and sisters, the day is coming in this world when those who do not know the Lord will wish they did. There's coming a day when those who do not know the Lord will wish they did. A day is coming when the greatest men in this world, along with the vilest sinners, will cry out to the rocks and the mountains to fall on us. There's coming a day when it will be desirable to be a Christian. So can I say to you, children of God, don't be ashamed of your stand. Don't be ashamed of Christ. And don't draw back whenever you're put to the test in standing up for Jesus. And don't let the world batter you into its path. And don't let the enemy steal your song. And don't let the enemy steal your testimony. Stand up for Jesus. And stand up for God. And stand up for the truth. Because one day he's going to wipe away those tears. The rebuke of my people. My last little thought is found in verse 9. And here's what it says. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is picturing the Jews finally seeing their Messiah. Now they've waited 6,000 years. And I'm sure they have wondered and questioned, well, did we get it right 2,000 years ago or did we get it wrong? And I'm sure they have often arrived at the place, I'm talking about the Jews now, I'm sure they've often questioned themselves, is he coming, is he not coming, when's he coming, how's he coming, will he come? I wonder, is there a child of God here today and says, well, 2,000 years ago he said he was coming and he still hasn't come. It must have been a whole lot of piffle. Let me tell you, one day the trumpet is going to sound. One day the clouds are going to unfurl. And one day we're going to see him break through the clouds. And the rejoicing and the gladness that will fill our hearts. Oh, he is going to wipe away the tears of distance. Can I remind you that the devil's a liar? Jesus will come. And he will bridge the distance between us and himself. And he will come and take us home. I love that song. I know that it's probably more of a gospel song. We're going home to glory soon to see the city bright. To walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost alone where we want you over there. Jesus said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's coming for us, church. He's coming for us. And it could be before the vacancy's filled. So make sure you're walking right with God. That's his plan. That's his promise. He will replace our sighing with shouting, our weeping with worshipping, and our hurts with hallelujahs. And we'll praise him for his steadfastness. We'll praise him because he said he would come for us, and he did. Notice the wording. This is our God. This is the Lord. The Jews are praising him because he came like he said he would. He was never easily shaken off his plan. I want to tell you, I'm telling you anyway, God it will not be shaken off his plan. The world might try to explain God away, and they might try to deduct, and they might pervert and distort the scriptures, but God is working according to a plan. They'll praise him for his steadfastness. Yes, even though we look back over our path and see all the heartache and all the debris of our lives, we still know that God kept to the plan. God's keeping to his plan. Praise him for his steadfastness. Not the least of his promises shall go unfulfilled. We will praise him for his sovereignty. Remember whenever Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, and he said, "What I do thou knowest not, but thou wilt hereafter." Oh, he's in control. He's in control. Do you believe that today? God is in control. If there's one thing that we learned as we studied through the book of the Revelation, it's this: that God is in control. You know what prophecy is? History that hasn't happened yet, as far as my mind's concerned. It's impossible that what God has planned shall not come to pass. And all hell might be against the plan of God. But listen, my dear friend, God has more power, and if you forgive the pun, he has more power in his little finger than all the devils and demons of hell. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone, for God is still on the throne. It doesn't matter if the world is falling around us. It doesn't matter whatever's happening in our lives. God is in control. We will praise him for his salvation. I thank God that I'm saved. There are a number of things that I'm very sure of. I was born. I'm sure of that. I was born a little nipper snapper, whatever you call them. And I was, I'm not going to give you my, did I ever give you my nickname, did I? You're not going to get it today either. But I tell you what, Bush was in it. I had this big curly blonde head of blonde hair, that's enough of that. And I'm sure I went to school. I turned up at school. I don't know what I learned, because I tell you what, it didn't stick with me. And I'm sure of another thing. I left school, and I'm sure I got married, because the wife's down there. And I'm sure I got saved. I'm sure. I was there when it happened. I ought to know. What a change. What a transformation. What a revelation. What an encounter I had with Christ. Not a preacher near me. Not another soul. Wednesday night in November. Broken hearted, I heard the band playing. I think that was deliberate then. One of the songs that was brought to Christ, so well remembered, Glenn. Well remembered. I'm sure that God called me into the work. And I'm 100% sure God called me here. I have never, ever been shaken off that. Never. And I thank God for every step in my life that he has brought me. And it has always been God working on my heart. And it's always been God initiating the steps. That night in November, on a Wednesday night, it was like the Spirit of God came into our sitting room. Well, he was. And I got up off my knees and I was as sure of heaven as if I was already there. I thank God for his salvation. Do you? I believe that you and I have tears and burdens, and we'll have those tears and burdens as long as we live. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. All who shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But as sure as your tears come, God will wipe them away. He will. He will. In the meantime, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. And you shall find rest to your souls. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Others here in this service may need to be saved today. Wouldn't it be a wonderful, wonderful thing if you came face to face with Christ now and accepted him as your Lord and Saviour, and brought your tributes of praise to his feet, ere for you it be forever too late. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, as we bow together this morning in this service, Lord, we thank you that we have a loving, tender, heavenly Father who will take the handkerchief of grace and wipe away all our tears. All our tears. Those silent tears. Those tears of sadness and distress, burden, weariness. Those tears of loss and mourning and all those things that have made us tear up. Thank you that you will wipe away all our tears. Just as you wipe the disciples' feet with the towel that's around your lap, you're going to wipe away our tears. And we thank you, Father, that you have promised to us today that we can cast our burdens upon the Lord. We can come as weary, worn travellers, and we can come to you for that grace to sustain us through the darkness that we travel. Bless this congregation, Lord. We love it with all of our hearts. We pray, Father, that you'll minister to every life. And Father, we pray that there will be those who will rejoice in God's goodness even as they travel this journey alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. We thank God for his presence and for his grace. I have to say, I didn't think I was going to be able to do what I've just done. I thank God for his grace. And you can thank God for his grace too. He'll give you grace. He will. Let's pray. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the help and the comfort of our Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, be our portion throughout this day and throughout the rest of our lives, for Christ's sake. Amen. And everybody said, amen. And they shouted,
amen.
Amen. Thank you.